Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. Once again, we have a whiskey to talk about. I was promoting our show to people I ran into at the Newark airport. So one guy I definitely don't think will like our politics or my politics, but he does like whiskey. So today we're drinking the Cleveland Underground bourbon whiskey with sugar that's made with sugar maple wood. Because of their process, they can use other woods to flavor their whiskeys. I won't get into the details, but it's really cool. And so this one's made with sugar maple wood, and I like it. It's smooth. It's not amazing. It's 92 proof, so it's got some kick to it. I gave it an 89.
Okay, so I gave it an 88, which here, I actually don't like it.
Oh, okay.
I don't. It just tastes weird in okay. my mouth. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't taste. There's no maple. I don't taste
I agree. There's no maple.
And maybe it's not supposed to, so I'm not, and maybe it's because I think I go in with a certain expectation of how something is going to taste, and this, I'm not really picking up anything distinct. It really tastes like there's a lot of different, there's a couple different flavors fighting for kind of dominance in the world of flavor, in my mouth, and I don't, I'm not a big fan.
Okay.
I'm a big Cleveland whiskey fan, but this one... Definitely not my favorite of theirs.
They've got so many different offerings out there, and again, because of their process, they can come up with new things much more quickly than your typical distillery. So, anyway, 89, 88. I mean, 88 is still a solid score.
Yeah,
so it's not.
I mean, it's just
not.
It's drinkable.
It's not jumping the bar from 90. I mean, I gave it an 89, so we're pretty much on the same page. All right, before we get to anything else. Yesterday, we learned that John McCain passed away. So they announced that he was ceasing to receive treatment for brain cancer
on Friday,
and on Saturday, I had friends over last night, and that's going to come up again later. But but anyway, Greg Allen was at the plate. My friend Megan and her boyfriend Rob are here, and Rob and I are in the room talking about Greg Allen, and he's literally at the plate, and Megan goes, "He died." And we're like, "No, he's standing at home base right now." No, John McCain died. Like, no, yeah, he did. I am a huge fan of John McCain. I think he represented what is desperately lacking in politics today, in the sense that he stood for his values. He would go against his own party even when it wasn't politically expedient. I think I've wondered what would have happened had he been the Republican nominee for president in 2000, because what was done to him by Karl Rove and the Bush campaign was nothing short of disgusting. I was wondering about that. But I flat out admire and respect John McCain. If you know his story, I mean, he was a prisoner of war for, I believe, 5 years. And he was offered release and turned it down because he didn't want to receive privilege because of who his father was. His father was an admiral in the United States Navy. So I've heard him talk about that, and he said, you know, he stood by that principle, and he knows he did the right thing. And then he said, and had I known it was going to take 5 more years for that to play out, I might have done things differently. But anyway, so your thoughts on Senator McCain?
I think one of the things that you said that stood out was what McCain represents in terms of policy and bipartisan problem solving. That's, you know, what he represented. Now, if you look at his track record, he's got some things on the policy side that aren't great, right? That I think he maybe never really had to answer for, and I don't think they didn't necessarily cost him the elections in 2008 and 2012, right?
He was he ran in 2008. 2012 was
he ran twice.
I know, 2000 2008.
2000 right 2000 2008 right. That's when it was. Sorry. But, you know, policy aside, just his willingness to kind of work to get things done. And he was, you know, the last of the dying breed, right?
Yeah.
He was one of the few that would say, I'll reach across the aisle. I'll work with Democrats. I'll work with people who maybe think a little bit different than I do. I'm not as much worried about having to answer for it on the campaign trail or get reelected. Like, let's just solve the problem. And ultimately, if we solve more problems and we have more wins than we do stalemates or losses, then the record will speak for itself.
He was also a big advocate for getting money out of politics. And, I mean, I remember he was on Don Imus' show years ago, and it was when the McCain-Feingold bill went through, and that was an attempt to get money out of politics, private money out of politics. And Imus asked him, like, you know, you realize you pass this and they'll find a loophole around it in five minutes. And John McCain jokingly said, you know, John McCain responded, am I supposed to not try just because people will find a new way to cheat? Should I just give up? And they got into a bit of a back and forth exchange, and McCain made a joke about taking out a surface to air missile with his F-16. And, you know, he was basically said, when you were bravely blowing your bugle in the Marine Corps, I was, you know, getting shot out of the sky, and I was shot back. At least I didn't get my bugle shot down. So anyway, interesting. It was a funny exchange. I thought it was funny. Clearly not moving the needle with you, but
I
don't like Don Imus.
No. I'm not. Well, no, I don't like Don Imus. But, you know, back to my point on John McCain, I think the biggest thing about him is that he is a guy who lived his life serving the U.S.,
yes. Right?
Serving the United States, serving the people of this country, you know, representing the people of Arizona. You know, you referenced his military career. You know, his father was an admiral in the Navy. He was in the Navy. He graduated from the Naval Academy. He's just a guy who, you want to talk about Captain America, there he is.
Right.
And that is important because, you know, I don't want us to politicize his death. People are doing it. You know, Twitter is a, you know, interesting place. And I don't want to go down the rabbit hole. But again, he just, you know, you want to talk about patriotism. You want to talk about veterans. You want to talk about, like, that's the guy that you stand up and you say, you know, this is why we have what we have. In terms of freedom, and you know, even if you don't agree with all his politics or his policies, and he's got plenty that isn't great, you can still say, you know, you should be able to, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or whatever, stand up and say, you know what, we lost an American hero.
Agreed. And the one thing that I hope comes out of his legacy is he many, many times spoke up against the Alex Jones, Rush Limbaugh types and said, don't let those idiots hijack your brain. He didn't say it in those words, but he was probably a bit more coarse about it at times. That's another thing I liked about him is he was not polished.
No, he wasn't. I mean,
which I love.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, I mean, because he's a true military. He's not one of those guys who went to the Naval Academy or who went to one of the academies and then never was out in the field.
No,
he's not like a scholarly type military. Like he's been in the thick of it. I mean, he was, you know, I mean, captured and he spent 5 years in captivity. So, you know, he gets a little bit of a pass for not being polished, but
I admire it.
Well, and I think it's important though, because he didn't really care about whether it was going to hurt your feelings or whether it was going to be offensive. But at the same time, he was always cognizant of the situation. You know, I mean, you look back at the time when he was in 2008 and he was confronted by a woman who was calling Obama a Muslim and all that other stuff. And his comment was, no, he's not a Muslim.
She called him an Arab. And he said, no, he's not an Arab. He's
Arab, Muslim, whatever. Either way, the point being is that he said, no, he's not that. Now, some people kind of got their panties in a bunch because it's like, oh, well, what's wrong with being a Muslim or an Arab? Like, well, there's not a problem with it, but he's not, right? Like, I mean, like, he's not either one of those things. So, I mean, whether good, bad, or other, you know, let's stay on track. Let's stay on point. And that's what he was really good at.
That was a politically brave moment by him. I think it definitely shows his character. And oddly, I think doing the right thing and having that character actually hurt him in his election.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
Okay. No, Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin torpedoed.
Sarah Palin torpedoed that.
You betcha. So,
I can see Russia from my front porch.
That's not top 10 dumb things that Sarah Palin said, though.
No, she's wild.
That's a fun one, but yeah.
Somebody could confirm if that Glenn Rice story is true.
What, did she bang Glenn Rice?
Yeah.
All right, we've got some contacts. We can get Glenn Rice on the phone.
Okay.
All right. So, one other thing, and I know you don't want to politicize this, but he has said he does not want Trump at his funeral. That's what he said. What Trump said about McCain in the primary should have ended Trump's campaign. If a Democrat had said that. I know I hate playing that game, and I know I call out other people when they do it, but if a Democrat had said that about John McCain, they would have been destroyed by both the left and right-wing media, and they should have been.
Right, and the fact that he was never called to task to that,
he also talked about the size of his dick during a debate, so.
But, you know, the thing with what he said about John McCain, I is exactly why he's so disingenuous when it comes to this whole thing about the NFL and the guys kneeling and everything else, right? I mean, like, if you did have all this, you know, appreciation for veterans and the military and the flag,
right,
under no circumstances would you say that you don't like losers. I don't like people. Yeah, he got caught. He got captured. He's a loser.
I prefer guys who don't get fucked.
Right.
Off.
I mean, you know, to say that about John McCain and then turn around and then demand that people stand for the, like, you clearly don't understand what the flag actually stands for on so many different levels. So the hypocrisy there, the fact that he, you know, his base can't put it together, or they, you know, deliberately refuse to put it together, again, just kind of shows the
It shows the puppet mentality, right? They're getting spoon-fed this garbage. So, and this is where the entire media deserves to be criticized, because I mentioned I had some friends over last night, and I explained to them why my friend Megan is a diehard liberal, as hardcore left as you're going to get. Her boyfriend is pretty not particularly political. And, you know, I would say pretty centrist. He's from rural Ohio, so my guess is he's got some right leanings in there, but a really good guy. And I told them the whole story about Jordan Poyer and, you know, meeting with Colin Kaepernick and saying, you know, if instead of sitting during the anthem, if you would consider kneeling, that shows the respect that we show for a fallen soldier. They didn't know the story. They knew nothing about it.
And a lot of people don't. But, I mean, again, there are people who know and just don't care. Because it kills the narrative.
Right. So anyway, I told them the story, and if you don't know, maybe this week sometime I can tweet out a link to Jordan Poyer telling it from his perspective. The fact is, neither the right-wing media nor the left-wing media show that, because it would put a big dent in the uproar. It would really make people say, okay, they're not doing this to disrespect the military. In fact, they are showing their respect for the military by doing this while saying they're still protesting social injustice.
Here's the deal. You go on social media, you turn on the regular media. There have been plenty of veterans who've come out and said, listen, there have been veterans, there have been police, there have been active duty people who say they support the players. There are plenty of veterans who've come out and said, listen, I fought for the freedoms that flag represents, and one of those freedoms is for those guys to be able to protest injustice if they want to, right? I may not necessarily agree with it, but damn it, I fought for their right to do it.
Right.
And there have been, I'm sure, thousands of veterans that have done it. There have been police officers who've gotten in trouble for openly supporting it, because again, it hurts their narrative. So the union police officers, whether it's down in Miami or here locally in Cleveland, or I think I saw it was like in the DC area, there have been police, or New York, that's where I saw it. All these places have had police officers who went out on social media, said they support the players kneeling, and then their, you know, fraternal order of whatever you know, came down on him, and you know, the guys got in trouble. However, you get in trouble in a union, because it, you know, it they crossed the thin blue line, basically, right? So, how many of those people do you need to see? I mean, we're beyond a point of, well, if only the story were out there. Listen, you know the story. I know the story of Jordan Poirier. The story's out there. People are deliberately ignoring it and not making connections, not because they don't know the story or they don't have the information, and not even for any other, and not for a reason that they can't put it together. They don't want to. They know exactly what they know what they're saying. They know what they're doing. They know what this is about. This is not the outrage of the players has nothing to do with respect for the flag. It has everything to do with rich black guys not doing what the majority of white people want them to do, right? Like, you should stand up. No, you don't respect the flag. No, you don't respect me as an individual, as a human being. That's the problem.
Well, and also people lose sight of the fact that what they are protesting is social injustice, right? So whether it's, you know, police shootings.
But again, people aren't losing sight of it. They're just not acknowledging it. They know it. They don't give a fuck. It's not about that. Right, they're deliberately turning the narrative away because they don't care about that particular issue. They're right, not yeah. losing sight of it. They're deliberately turning. They're running away from it.
And that's all the more reason for people to keep doing it. To say until you get the message right and until you acknowledge that this is what is needed in America to make America a better place, meaning social equality, then we're going to keep doing this. And if you
and I guess where I come with the and how did we get here?
But well.
Where I am with the kneeling is, if you're a player and you're going to kneel, and I've said this, or some version of this, all along, then you better have a receipt to show me. And what I mean by that is, if you're going, like, because you're, the conversation that you're creating really isn't about social justice, right? It's about the flag and the president gets all involved.
Right.
But if you're going to do it, then you better be able to show me how you're fighting for justice on the other side, right? And yeah, you have to. And the whole NFL Play 60 thing doesn't count. Donating money to a charity for kids to get t-shirts after school doesn't fucking count. I need you.
Donating money for kids that need that don't have t-shirts.
I mean, if they don't have, okay, fine. But no, I actually need you working with your local police. I need you working in your local community. I need you out there figuring out a way to bring the youth together, to figure out job programs, to get these kids out of game, like all of that, right? That's your charge, right? If you're going to go out there and you're going to kneel and you're going to cause this disruption, like, you can't, like, think about this. You want to talk about the civil rights movement and Selma and Rosa Parks and everything else. So Rosa Parks sat at the front of the bus, right? She made that protest. But did it stop there with her? No, she continued to fight for social justice on after, right? She met with civic leaders. She met with anyone who she could meet with. She worked with Martin Luther King. She worked with she did the work to solve the problem, right? And so if you're going to make this protest, fine. But you better be doing the work to solve the problem on the back end. And if you're not, stand the fuck up. I don't have time for you and your bullshit. You are doing it for attention. You aren't protesting anything. You just want the attention on you so that you can go on Twitter and say, oh my God, they're coming out because they're so racist. No, you need to do the work that you want to see done. Otherwise, you're not setting an example with your protests. You're intentionally annoying people just to be a brat.
So you're basically comparing them to the offended college students.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. And for some of these guys, and they are, and that's okay because they're young. Some of these guys are fucking 24 years old. You know what I mean? Like, they're not that far removed from being on a college campus.
Right.
So it's not the end of the world.
And some of these guys have done good work, right?
Plenty of them have, right? I mean,
which also goes underreported.
There's about 50 guys that I know that have done everything that I just said. Literally, they've gone to their local community, where they're from and where they play, right? Two different things. Right?
Right.
And so, you know, whether they play for New Orleans, but they're from Florida, they're doing work in both places, working with police, working with the local community, creating programs that give that give people the opportunities and the skills that they need so that they don't have to live a life of poverty and crime, and give them the tools that they need to aspire for more. That's what this is about, right? I mean, all like these crime issues and the issues with the police, the biggest thing is that there's a lack of resources, and these players have resources. So now, if you're going to protest social injustice, one of the biggest social injustices is the lack of resources. You have an abundance of resources. So you need to, this is the way that you can fix it, right? So you do that and say, hey, this shit is still happening, so I'm going to protest it. I'm okay with that. I am not okay with someone just kneeling and having a camera put right in their face, and then people on both sides getting all this tizzy fit, and they end up making it about the flag. And so we have to deal with all that for you to kneel. And then what are you doing about it? Nothing other than causing me to have to fucking talk about you because you want to fucking kneel because, oh, look, Colin Kaepernick did it. And so those players who are kneeling but aren't doing anything about social injustice, I need to know why they're kneeling. Or did someone just say, it sounds like a good idea because social injustice is bad, okay?
Like, I mean, why did you go Mr. Hand?
I watch so much South Park at night before I go to sleep. It's kind of ridiculous. But that's my issue with the kneeling.
No, that's
so if you're going to do it, do it. But there's a charge to it.
You want sincerity.
Right. And Colin Kaepernick did it, right?
Yes. He donated $1 million.
Right. I mean, he donated money. He started funds. And then he didn't just blindly throw it out there. There's multiple programs. You go online, he's got a website, and you can see where the money's going, and you can see what he's trying to do, right?
And the one thing that drives me crazy is when someone says, what is that guy protesting for? He's rich.
God damn it. And that's one of the dumbest fucking arguments out there. It's right? And here's the thing. Because people say, oh, well, there's a better time and place for you to protest.
Actually, there's
fuck
not.
Fuck you. You know what? There's not. Because when black people did protest and they called themselves Black Lives Matter, guess what? You called them a terrorist organization. So clearly, not outside of games is not the best place to do it.
And if you have a platform, you have the right to use it. Just like whether you're an entertainer of some other sort, or
listen, I mean, they have a platform, they have a voice that the people who they're protesting for, they don't have that same voice.
Right.
That's the whole fucking point of it.
Right. Yeah. And so, that argument, I just had to shoot that argument down publicly again because it drives me crazy. Well, they've already got money. What are they complaining about? If they're doing the right thing.
And so the frustrating part about that is you want to say that people know what they're – when they say that, you want to say that they're being intentionally ignorant, right? They know what's going on, but they still want to just throw that curveball out there because the whole – pack mentality, MAGA, Trump, blah, 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 right? But then, some of these people you talk to and you realize they actually legitimately fucking mean it, right? Like, they say, there are people out there who say, these guys are rich. What are they protesting for? They're spoiled babies.
Right.
What more could we, how are you being oppressed? It's not about me being oppressed. I make $7 million a year. I know I'm not fucking oppressed.
We've also seen rich black guys get beat up by the police. I mean, was Wiz Khalifa? Who was the guy that got tackled on the
okay.
Hoverboard or whatever?
Right, which was unnecessary, but still hilarious.
It was hilarious.
It was ridiculous.
He's a scrawny guy, and they beat the shit out of him.
Right, you really could have just
seven guys.
Him over. Right,
and then who was the player that got?
Well, it was the basketball player. And it just happened this year. We talked about it earlier. I don't remember him. I really don't remember his name, but it happened in Milwaukee. I know exactly what you're talking about. But again, yes, it does happen to them. But essentially,
and another guy in New York got attacked. Right, he was a Philadelphia 76er. Got his leg broken or something.
Sorry, focus.
I am focused.
The point is that those guys have. They have a platform, they have resources, so they're using them. And the argument that, they're rich, so they shouldn't have to, is a dumb one.
Yes, it is. All right, we can move on. So if you watched any CNN or MSNBC after Thursday of this week, you would think that Trump is getting impeached by Tuesday of next week. That's pretty dumb. But if you watch them, that would be the vibe you would give. Manafort gets convicted. Michael Cohen pleads guilty to multiple charges. And it sounds like he's going to... He didn't, plead guilty.
He's going to jail. 5.5 years.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah. I mean...
Yep.
Now, having said that, And Cohen flat out said, you know, I did these things. They were illegal. I did them on behalf of Trump. He didn't say he's at a, so po- the, whatever, a
political candidate running for office, a
federal office, yeah. Right? Okay. I don't think anything will come of this.
Okay. So my thought is, again, with Manafort and Flynn are a big part of the reason where all this Russia shit is coming from, right?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, it's a perfect storm. And my opinion from the beginning has been Trump surrounded himself with a lot of shady people because he didn't want to deal with the normal political crowd, right? And drain the swamp, that whole thing. So he goes, although Manafort's been involved with government for 40 years. So he goes and grabs all these people that he vets as his people that are loyal to him because, and there were people who were loyal to him because he's filthy rich, right? And they all saw an opportunity to profit in some way, shape, or form, whether it's financially or through some other form of social gain. They thought to attach themselves to Trump and ride with it, right? Whether it's Rudy Giuliani or Michael Flynn or Paul Manafort or the list goes on. And when Trump does this, he is now engaging with people who are, Mike Flynn was new to the game of being a leech, right? He had just kind of figured it out. That was just like his first time dipping his toe in the waters of being a sketchy dude, and he got caught, right? Manafort has been doing this forever. Right, and Trump's whole thing was, oh, these charges are old. Like, well, yes and no, right? Like, I mean, because he was doing this up until he got canned, right? I mean, so they should have told me he was under investigation. You should have vetted your guy, right? I mean, so part of Trump's problem in this whole Russia thing is the fact of the people who he had in his campaign, right? Yeah. Paul Manafort taking money from Ukrainians and Russians and Michael Flynn taking money from Ukrainians and Russians, right? Like, that shit didn't pass the smell test. And so now people start talking about, well, what the fuck is going on? And then you have the fact that Vladimir Putin is just like, oh, perfect time to just go cause a shitstorm. And he does.
And he did, yeah.
Right? And so the question is, and the big the only question is, did Donald Trump talk with someone in Russia, right, in the Russian state, whether it was Vladimir Putin or one of his lackeys, and say, if you help me win the election, then I will be very favorable to Russia, and, you know, whatever you need, it'll get done, right? And I think the answer to that is going to be no. I don't think that ever happened. I think that they were looking for whatever information they could get on Hillary Clinton, and that's no different than what any other presidential candidate has done, Democrat or Republican, you know, over the last 40 years. The whole idea of collusion to me is ridiculous. One, collusion is not a crime. I mean, they pull this word out. It's not a crime.
All right, it's not a crime, but what you just described is.
That's conspiracy. That's different. Okay. Well, it's different. Yep, it's legally different. There's a big, huge fucking difference.
Right.
I can't charge you with collusion. I can't defend you from collusion charges because there is no such thing.
Okay.
Right. Conspiracy is a different thing. Conspiracy to commit. I don't know. It could be anything, you know.
Election fraud.
Fraud, right. Like, I mean, there's a laundry list of things, and they're different. Oh, well, it's just semantics. Well, that's what the law is. It's the use of words and understanding them, right? Because if you use the wrong word the wrong way, people either go to jail or they don't go to jail, right? Like, so that shit fucking matters, and collusion isn't a thing, right? I mean, that's the part, and that's where the media gets fucked up. Right, and they make their mistakes because they throw these words out there and they run with it, right? And it becomes, and so now Trump's argument is they made this thing up. There's no such thing as collusion. I didn't collude with anybody, and it doesn't matter because it's not a crime. And he's absolutely fucking right. He's absolutely fucking right. That's the problem. They keep handing him fucking freebies, and he's smart enough to take them and use them, and that's why we have this fucking rift. Right, because the media, like, they think they're so fucking smart, but then they back themselves into a corner with their own fucking words, and all he does is turn around and use their own words against them to create a cloud of mistrust and confusion and people are too fucking stupid to see through it, right? Like, we literally, like, and this is, like, this is everybody, right, left, Democrat, Republican, in government, out of government, rich, poor, it doesn't matter, people are fucking stupid. Like, we literally have an entire fucking citizenry of stupid people.
You just basically quoted Bill Maher, or paraphrased Bill Maher.
Don't say that. I'll fucking choke you.
No, but I mean, he got a ton of trouble for that, right? He said the American people are stupid, and furthermore, for what it's worth, I agree with you. I know I've told you my story about John Kerry not defending himself in the 2004 elections, and when asked why, he said, "Well, because the American people are smart." And I jumped out of my chair. I'm like, "No, they're not, John." And we haven't gotten smarter. Having said that, Manafort's going to jail for the rest of his life, and he's not even done with trials. Cohen's doing they're going to sentence him to 5.5 years?
5.5.
That's a long time by my standards.
Well, it's crazy. Like, so it is a long time, and it's wild because I know people. I mean, listen, I know guys who have committed murders, right? Or have, you know, done all sorts of just awful things, who cooperated with federal investigations and got similar time to what Cohen got. Like, so it does, like, it literally doesn't add up. Like, what, I mean, the only thing I can think of, he confessed to a lot of things, but it may not, I don't think he has the big thing that's going to implicate Trump and be the fall of Trump. I don't think he has anything, because again, I don't think that there's much there. I mean,
the thing about it is, did you hear his explanation for his actions about how once he saw the president in Helsinki, he knew he had to. He tried to play the moral high ground card, and it's like, Michael Cohen, one thing you cannot do is go Mr. Morality on me and have me take you remote.
Sure, let me say one. So Trump tweeted out, "If you need a lawyer, don't hire that Michael Cohen guy."
Yeah.
Don, hey, but I'm pretty sure that Mr. Cohen is going to lose his law license.
Secondly, like, you hired him for a decade.
And secondly, he was your lawyer for a long time, right? Like, so you're going to either have to acknowledge that you're going to have to acknowledge that you hired an idiot.
I mean,
and Michael Cohen, do you know his actual background? Like, so he went to the law school he went to is not great.
University of Phoenix Law School.
I don't want to throw him under the bus completely, but I mean, the law school he went to isn't highly rated.
All right.
Okay, let's just say it's not in the U.S. News top 100 or 200.
Okay.
And he was a struggling lawyer in New York, had done a few decent deals here and there, but was barely surviving. Now, that being said, it's in New York, and had he done those same deals in a Cleveland or Pittsburgh, he'd be fine. But he's struggling. Somehow he ends up meeting up with Trump. I'm not exactly sure how. And then I think what happened was,
my money's on Whorehouse.
I think Trump and his organization saw Cohen as a guy who was good enough to do some minor legal work for them. But he was able to play that role of, hey, I've got a problem, solve it with something that kind of looks and feels legal and official, but make these problems go away quietly, right? That was his role, that was his charge, and he was expendable, right? But the problem is with guys like that is they are who they are, right? And so Michael Cohen was weak, right? Like, I mean, he was weak and greedy. And that's what got him in trouble. And so now his fixer, you know, Trump's fixer, became a problem that needed to be fixed, but he didn't have anybody to fix it. So, you know, I mean, that's, again, Trump only surrounds himself with the best people.
With the best people. Well, and I mean, look at who he surrounded himself with. Omarosa, Michael Cohen, Manafort. And you know who we haven't heard from in forever is Steve Bannon. I think Bannon is...
Well, Bannon's in Europe.
Okay.
Bannon, so this is wild, right? But Bannon,
I don't know this.
He is in Europe just causing a frenzy. Any conservative far-right party group, whether it's in Germany or the UK or Italy, he is traveling all over Europe just getting...
Anti-immigration speeches, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that. I'm right? sure he's killing
it. And he's making a ton of money doing it, right? Like, I mean, it's a money play, right? But the immigration situation over there is a mess.
It genuinely is.
It is because, I mean, they're in such close proximity. In reality, African immigrants coming here, like, they're just not going to make that voyage.
Right? You got to get on a plane or a boat.
You got to get on a plane or a boat. And they just, they don't have the money for planes and boats. Like, we get some.
Not to mention there's immigration challenges when you travel on those kind of vessels.
Right.
You have to go through customs and to stay here. You need a visa.
Whole thing. Which I think it's funny that Trump talks about how bad our immigration system is. Like, we're the worst in the world. It's just like, have you seen what's going on in, pick a country in Europe,
yeah.
Italy, Germany, England, France, right?
And it's first of all, the people who are moving there are generally fleeing from war-torn or yep. impoverished countries. So you look at, they're viewed as the enemy by the Steve Bannons of the world. But I guarantee you, if you or I were in the situation of those people, we'd be doing the same damn thing.
Right.
And
I'd probably go down fighting, but that's because you're a pansy.
Fuck off. Give me a bottle cap, you punk.
You just call me a punk?
I did. You just called me a pansy. Fuck you. Huh. Mr. Don't Know Name Calling. And all right, anyway. These are people that I feel for, but I also understand that if you're, England or wherever, you can't just have people showing up and taking over neighborhoods and
right.
just, I mean, it's a real problem. If we try to get on the solution for this, it'll take forever. And
the solution is to fix,
have the war-torn countries make people right. want to run away from them.
And ultimately that's what you have to do, right? You don't want people from El Salvador and Mexico
Nicaragua
and whatever,
or
want them coming here. Then you got to figure out why they're leaving there, and you got to help those countries figure that out. Now, to be fair, we have given a lot of money to a lot of countries. Right, we've given billions of dollars all over the world. Right, you can't deny that.
Sure,
but you can't just throw money at it. Right, and
doing that might actually make it worse.
Right, and because in some cases it has because of who you're giving money to. So there is
we threw money at Saddam Hussein. That didn't go great.
No,
and if you look at the situations in Africa, right? We under the Clinton administration, we were quote unquote trying to do the right thing. And let me be clear to say, Bill Clinton fucked up how he handled Africa horrifically, and I've heard Bill Clinton acknowledge how bad he fucked up.
Yep.
But they were dropping food into impoverished, starving countries. Sounds like the right thing to do, but when that food then gets taken by people with guns who are right. warlords in that country, who now
or the people who need the food go to get the food and then they get shot. Right. I mean, it was just such an awful scene. I mean, I hate to bring up the movie Hotel Rwanda.
That was a very tough movie to watch. A very good movie.
I don't suggest people watch it because it's so hard to watch and it's so hard to get through in how you feel. It's just a movie, right?
Right.
And it's just a movie. It's based off of what was going on there, but holy fuck. Like what are we doing? Like what are we doing? And that movie kept me up multiple nights for a long time.
That was one of the. So there are scenes in that movie that are flat out disturbing. But the issues that were pointed out in that movie, the biggest one of which was, we had a military presence in there that was told to do absolutely nothing. So we're literally putting NATO soldiers, NATO forces into harm's way and telling them you can't do anything unless you are literally personally shot at. So you get to watch atrocities happen before your eyes, and the people who think you're there to help them get to die watching you stand there with your hand on the safety switch.
I have a friend that I went to school with at some point, and he ended up there, and he and I have had conversations, and he said it was awful. He said being in Africa was awful because of, as a soldier, his inability to do what he was trained to do. And they weren't, and I won't go too far down the rabbit hole, but a lot of what we do in Africa has nothing to do with fixing the problems, and it has everything to do with getting the resources out. period.
Yeah, and I think I mean and Steve, I'm afraid that if we dug in deeper into Afghanistan, we'd see the same thing.
Yep.
I mean,
here's the fucked up thing. Here's the fucked up thing about Africa is there. You have the movie Black Panther, right?
Right.
Which is based off a comic book that was written literally in the 60s. Okay.
Okay.
And the whole thing in Black Panther, have you seen it yet?
No.
Ooh, gross. I haven't
seen any movies in 6 months, so I'm not.
Dude, you live on the road in a hotel.
Is it available on Netflix? If it is, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
It's okay. I didn't think it was there yet.
You didn't think it was
I didn't think Netflix already had Black Panther.
Netflix, until Disney releases their own streaming service, like Netflix is where Disney movies go.
Okay, but it takes a while for them to get there.
It's there.
Okay, I will watch Black Panther.
You know what? I need to stop yelling at you because I have a four-year-old. So that's why I know that Disney movies dump into Netflix. That's how.
All right, you need to stop yelling at me. We end that scene there.
Fair. Fair. Sorry. Anyway, but so in Black Panther, they've got this vibranium, right?
Right.
It's a fictional material, but it's like the greatest super, thing yeah, ever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Again, that was written in 1964 by Stan Lee and I can't think of the other guy who wrote it. But fast forward to now, and there is a material that's found in like three places in the world, right? Two places in Africa and I think a place in South America. And it is the only reason why our cell phones work. I forget. Okay. Do you know what it's called?
I know what you're talking about. No, I don't know what it's called.
But whatever that material is, they use it to make a part in our phones, everybody's phone.
Right.
We've got an iPhone or a stupid droid or, you know, something.
Your iPhone loyalty cracks me up.
Something ridiculous from Samsung or whatever. You have something in your phone that there's a 80% chance that material came from Africa. Right.
Okay.
And if for some reason that African country got their shit together and said, oh, by the way, get the fuck out, we control this, then they could literally stop cell phone production, right? I mean, it would pause it for a brief period of time until they figured out, all right, what the fuck are we going to do, right? And I think there is a place in South America where they can get it as well, as Jim opens his soda water. But
all right, point now being, that was. I'm also drinking whiskey.
No, it's fine. No, it's good. I'm not. Hey,
you made me think of the movie Heathers when they bring out the mineral water. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I've never seen Heathers.
All right. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
They're
staging two football players to look like gay guys, and they plant mineral water.
I wasn't even making fun of you. Just because it made a loud noise.
It did make a loud noise.
Jesus.
All right.
But
very professional show.
Behind the curtain.
Dun, dun, dun.
But all that to say, listen, a lot of what we do as a military in Africa has nothing to do with protecting the people or righting the wrongs or helping the governments get on track. It has everything to do with the resources that are there and protecting them and making sure the corporations that are there that are mining those resources and jacking them out of the off the continent, really, because there's shit all over Africa, right? There's a map, and I've seen it, and I need to pull it down and verify it, but there's a map that shows the various resources that come out of the continent of Africa, whether it's diamonds or gold or oil or whatever that stuff is in our cell phones and all sorts of shit, like shit you don't even think about and shit I don't even know what some of it is, but apparently it's really important.
And I mean, you think about diamonds are an industry that has propped up Antwerp, Belgium for, you know, 100 years, whatever, and none of those diamonds are coming from none of those diamonds are coming out of Antwerp, Belgium. They're coming out of Africa.
Right.
And the whole, you know,
That doesn't even get us into, you know, ivory and what they're doing, the elephants and rhinos and all that other stuff. And I'm not big game hunter guy. I'm not sure.
I'm not a trophy hunter. No.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm definitely that to me is a little too far.
I don't shoot things for anything other than I'm going to eat them or they are coyotes are like a menace to.
Can you go fucking elk hunting, please, so we can get some elk meat?
I have elk meat.
What?
I have elk meat.
What? When?
It's been in my freezer for a year.
Is it still good?
Yeah, it's still good. I cooked some a month ago.
Fuck, Jim. Come on, man. I need protein.
Share your elk. My cousin shot it. I didn't shoot it, but... Do you remember my cousin borrowing my truck or no?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. All right, that's what that's from.
Okay. We should go hunting.
I would love to. All right.
Anyway.
We've entered the bro zone, which is.
I don't know. I want to get all done up. The hunting game.
Yeah, that's fine. I also hate bugs and I hate being dirty. Well, here's the thing.
I hate smelling.
I hate hunting when it's hot out. So hunting, you typically deer hunt in the fall.
Okay.
No, I've gone.
I feel like our window is closing based off of the things we hate.
Yeah. Well, no. I hate
hunting when it's hot out. I hate hunting outside. Okay.
No, I don't hate hunting outside. because when you go bow hunting, you're head to toe in camo, so you're covered up. I've gone out bow hunting in the early part of the season in Ohio, which is September, and it was like 75, 80 degrees, mosquitoes all over me.
Skeeters.
Yeah, and it's miserable to hunt when it's hot out. So we've completely derailed. One more thing about Trump, because our buddy Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III actually shot back at Trump this week. He actually said something to the effect of, I'm not going to let politics interfere with the Department of Justice business, which... was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to say. Yeah. And Trump lost his shit.
Yeah.
He lost his shit. Like, oh, you're not.
But this whole thing is playing out in a funny and really kind of a scary way, right? So the president is basically saying the Department of Justice is a disaster. This from the Truth and Order, this from the Law and Order president.
Yeah.
And
it is a disaster because they're not stepping in to stop an investigation about him.
Right. Which is nuts. And so many levels. And I heard something today on one of the Sunday morning shows. I forget which one it was. When they said, if he fires Sessions, does he fire Sessions with someone who then fires Mueller and Rosenstein in as an intermediate? And if that's the case, who takes that job? And the only person I can see actually taking that job is Rudy Giuliani, which is even as scary or more scary than Jeff Sessions. And... This was said on Sunday morning TV, but I thought it too. As much as I dislike Jeff Sessions, and I know you share my dislike for him, and we've documented that many times, Jeff Sessions was a senator for a long time. Mm-hmm. If he gets fired as attorney general by Trump over an investigation involving Trump, that could be one of the few things that gets enough Republican senators to turn on Trump. Okay. I don't think so. I didn't say I think it would happen. I said it could be one of the few things it could.
I don't like
Jeff Sessions.
The people that are loyal to Trump are loyal to Trump. They will be loyal to him until he is no longer in office. Whether that's
Jeff Sessions was one of those people.
Was true, but he is in Trump's direct line of fire, and everyone that's on the Trump train agrees with Trump. Right, there's no one who is on Jeff Sessions' side, right? Like, if you look at people that are supportive of Trump, they are all attacking Sessions. No one is standing up for Sessions.
No senators are speaking out now. If they had this will play out over the next few weeks. But I think
he's not going to fire
him. Okay, you don't think so?
No. He can't stand him.
Do you think you can get him to quit? Because I think that's what Trump is trying to do. I think that's his goal.
Because he knows he can't fire him, but he would like him to quit, and I think it is to put Rudy Giuliani in that position because he knows Rudy Giuliani is an idiot and will do what he says and asks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Rudy Giuliani, to me right now, like, it has been for the last couple of years, but, I mean, what an embarrassment. Like, how do you look yourself in the face, in the mirror, with just the bullshit that you peddle? Like, listen, I'm not even talking about from politics. Like, he literally said, well, the truth isn't the truth.
See, I won't beat him up for that, though, because I think he was he said it badly.
But yeah, I don't think, Jim, lawyer, words, semantics matter. It all fucking matters. And I don't give a fuck if you're on TV and you don't have time to think, right? You have got to be able to do this. A guy like that, your job is to say the right thing in front of the camera, right? Not put together some half-assed statement said poorly. Right, I'm sorry. I'm going to beat you up over it because you can't say that. You cannot say, especially after Kellyanne Conway already said alternative facts
and invented a new term that became accepted by people. Sadly, I guess when he said the truth isn't the truth, what I think he was trying to say was what you hear someone say.
I know exactly what the fuck he was saying.
Okay,
But I'm still beating him up for it because he said it in a shitty way.
He did say it in a shitty way, no doubt about
it. So you don't I'm not giving you participation points in fucking politics.
I just
like you're Rudy fucking Giuliani. You were the mayor of New York City. You're a fucking lawyer for the last 50 fucking years. So why the fuck am I giving him participation points because he said something poorly? Why are you giving him credit for that?
I'm not giving him credit.
Say it right.
I'm not giving him credit. I'm just not.
And
I'm
be
not
honest. A big and, deal and the reason why he's in the reason why the he's point. Saying it. The reason why he's saying it is, again, disinformation to cloud the issue, to cloud the picture, right? Like, so no, I'm not giving him credit for it.
I'm not giving him a pass for being dishonest. I'm just not going to let one fumbled sentence be enough.
But that fumbled sentence is a microcosm of his whole being over the last five fucking years.
All right, no, that's a different issue.
It's the same issue.
Okay, well... So, all right, there's one more thing I want to talk about real quick because I'm kind of disgusted by it. If you don't know the name Molly Tibbetts, she was a University of Iowa student who went missing and has ultimately been found murdered. And you know, I first read the story and I was sure it was going to be a domestic issue with a boyfriend, but it turns out her boyfriend was nowhere to be found. And then it came out that she was assaulted, essentially, I think, by a stranger and killed by a stranger. And that stranger was also a Mexican who was here illegally. And the Trump administration has tried to use that as a flag to wave for
build the wall, fix immigration, right. All that stuff.
And the Tibbetts family has said, basically, do not use our daughter for political reasons. And I think we owe them that.
Yeah. And so I don't want to talk about the politics around it. You got a family that lost their daughter, sister, girlfriend, friend, to a person who was depraved. I don't care where he's from. Doesn't matter.
I agree.
Doesn't matter where he could have been. He could have easily been a psycho from Iowa or Ohio or New York. It doesn't matter. Like you got a girl who seems relatively innocent and sweet. I mean, I don't know her personal. I don't know her. I don't know anything about her. But she didn't. There's nothing that says she. No one deserves that. You know, no one deserves
that. Right.
And whoever the perpetrator is, needs to be punished for it accordingly. You know, you want to talk about immigration. You want to talk about the wall. It's a separate conversation that you don't. We don't need this girl's death for that conversation.
Right, right.
We just don't, and so we're not gonna have it. All I can say is and this is hard, and I hate it because it's so cliche. But as a dad, man, you see these stories, and it drives me fucking nuts. Right, like I mean, I could not imagine having to bury my daughter. Couldn't.
I know.
I couldn't do it. And so, you know, I just that's the part for me. That's just the hard part. That's the worst part about this to me, is that you got parents that have to bury a child, and that's not right. It's not fair. And it's just, sick.
And you're right.
The thought of it is sick. And listen, it's not like she didn't die from cancer or disease. It wasn't an accident. She didn't get, you know, she didn't trip and fall down. Like she was murdered, period. Yeah. And that alone, and if you're going to take that time, take this time while that family is grieving and mourning and try to flip it to something for your advantage. And I don't care what side, how you're doing that.
It's disgusting.
I can tell you that I wouldn't be alive because I would have gone on a fucking rampage. I would have gone on a rampage. When they found that guy, they would have had to shoot me to stop me.
See, here's I'm anti-death penalty. I'm also totally pro-vigilante. So if this girl's father shoots this fuck.
Anti-death penalty, but I am pro-vigilante,
yes.
I am pro-Venom from Spider-Man.
Yes.
Which new movie coming out?
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Oh my God.
Cannot. No, seriously. If this girl's dad shoots this fuck, and I'm on that jury, I think you were crazy for 10 minutes.
Hung jury every time with me.
Yeah.
If I'm on it, hung jury every fucking time.
I believe you went crazy, and I think you're sane now, and you can go back to what you were doing.
Right.
And people call me a hypocrite all the time, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'm a hypocrite. I don't want the state killing people, but if this guy's dad, I'm not a father, but I'm an uncle, and I, you know, whenever something like this happens, and I think about if someone did this to my niece or my nephew or anyone else, I could easily be brought to the point of murder. And I know it's wrong, but that doesn't mean I couldn't get there. All right, that went dark in a hurry, but it's important that we, you know, not use this awful event as a political playing point. And
we could talk about the other stuff another day.
Okay.
Period.
Want to talk about Urban Meyer real quick? We're going to wrap this up.
I do. We'll talk about it real quick. So Urban Meyer gets suspended for 3 games. I think we said it on the show, right? I mean, we had this when this first broke. You know, everyone that I was talking to said it was going to be a 3-game suspension, you know, with the time served. And, you know, I think Ohio State couldn't have handled this. Well, I think Ohio State
you always fuck it up more, but okay, they fucked it up.
Ohio State initially handled this right. One, they fired Zach Smith, and we'll get to Zach Smith in a second. They fired Zach Smith. Urban lies at Media Day, and then they immediately suspend him. They do an investigation. They come back. They have the press conference. They suspend him for 3 games. Pardon me. The problem is that press conference was handled terribly. Urban was such a petulant child with the whole thing. I'm a diehard Urban fan. I'm an Ohio State fan, but he's got to be better in that situation. Now,
have you met him? You run in enough athletic circles. Okay,
I met him. He's okay. I mean,
I know you're a huge Jim Tressel fan.
That's different. I mean, Jim Tressel is he coached at Youngstown State. Yeah. He recruited me. He's been to my home. I've spent time with him. He's done things for me. That's a different relationship.
You can be a fan of both. I was just curious if you met Urban.
I truly am a huge fan of Jim Tressel as a person because I know him. Urban Meyer, different scenario. Like, I mean, he's a coach of Ohio State. He's really good. And he's a really good recruiter. Meeting him in person, he's kind of aloof. Yeah, I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a nice enough guy, but he is kind of aloof. And, I mean, hey, he's the head coach at Ohio State, so it is what it is. But this whole thing, I think the press conference was handled very poorly. One, they kept reporters waiting for 12 hours, right? Like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they kept reporters. What? Like, the reporters, they let reporters know, like, hey, it could be dropping at any time at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, that press conference wasn't until 6, 7 o'clock at night. And
do you know if reporters were actually physically sitting in a room waiting? Yes. Oh my God, I would lose my fucking mind if that was done to me.
Like, so the people from Ohio State, they had a pizza delivered, right? And the pizza delivery guy comes in, you know, knocks on the door, like, hey, I got a pizza. And like all reporters rush to the pizza guy. And he's like, I am literally just a pizza guy. I'm here to bring, you know, Gene Smith or whoever a pizza, and then I'm leaving. I don't know why you're here, and I have no comment about
that's
all
unbelievable.
This. Yes.
That story happened. That pizza guy fucked up. That was his chance. That was his chance. I represent Tommy's Pizza at Columbus, Ohio, and I'd like to say for the record that I believe Urban Meyer to be innocent. He fucked up.
Bucks.
That was his chance, and he fucked up. Opportunity knocked. You dropped off a pizza.
So, I think they fucked it up in terms of one. Like, so if you're like, here's the thing, you want to be, if you want to be presented in the best light, most favorable light possible, you don't want to start by having the reporters who are going to have to report and ask you questions. Don't let them sit and wait for 12 fucking hours. Right.
No doubt.
Like, you need to call and say, hey, we're going to have a press conference at this time. Be here 1 hour before, and we'll get it all sorted out. Not, it can happen anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 at night. And we're not telling you when it's happening.
That's less respectful than the cable company.
Yeah, it's really bad. That was really bad. And then Urban Meyer's whole demeanor during the press conference was awful. The fact that he didn't acknowledge Courtney Smith during the press conference was awful. They asked him about it, and he's kind of like, oh, well, I mean, it's just kind of bad for everybody. Like, his whole thing, with that was brutal. And then the fact that they suspended him for 3 games, yes, that was the word coming out of Columbus. But at the end of ultimately, what should have happened? What should have happened was either he handled it right, he handled it wrong. Even if he handled it wrong, you say, listen, we suspended him. we looked into it, and while we didn't like the way he did it, he didn't violate his contract. He didn't do anything egregiously bad. He just had a bad employee that he kept on for too long. Not a fireable offense. We're moving on.
I agree. Right? Or if you think you did a fire, if it was a fireable offense, you fire him. Right.
Right? Or fire him. And I'm okay with that. It sucks for Ohio State. They'll figure it out. They'll get a new coach in there. You know, I mean, someone put a bug in my ear that if they fired Urban, it was going to be Bob Stoops, and I got a moderate erection just because I like that idea for some reason. I don't know why. But point
this,
being,
this half-assed, we sort of did something. Yeah. We did something without really doing anything, and now we might lose to TCU, but that's the third game.
No,
all right.
They're not gonna
lose. All right.
But it was a
half-hearted.
Right. Now listen, I don't. Would I have fired Urban? No. Would he and I have had words behind private doors? Oh yes. Because my thing is, why is he on your fucking staff? Well, he's Earl Bruce's. I don't give a fuck if he's Earl Bruce's dick. I don't want that piece of shit on my campus.
Yeah, right.
And listen, and it's not like we didn't know that this guy was a dick. He was a dick in 2009 in Florida, right? And you knew that he was a piece of shit, but you kept him on the staff because of nepotism.
And you rehired him because of nepotism. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right?
Right. I mean, there was enough there where we know that this guy was a dick. Listen, the NFL and college coaching, there are a lot of guys who don't know dick about football, but they're there because their dad or their uncle or their grandfather was a coach, a player, an executive, something like that. And they are literally there because of their name. This is not me talking. This is not me being jealous, right? This is just the reality of the situation, right? Lane Kiffin is a prime example. The only reason that guy got a job with the Raiders in Tennessee and USC is because of his father's name, right? The coach
Rex Ryan maybe, but his brother
Rob
Ryan. I mean, right. Rob Ryan was a sideshow joke.
Right. I mean, like, in the fact that he kept getting jobs. I mean, it's insane, but it's because of who his dad was, who
right.
his father. And then there's even more of them that you don't know who are literally collecting checks for, you know, $100,000 a year just because of who their dad was. Now listen, I'm not gonna knock the hustle. Right, I'm not going to take money out of another man's pocket because I work my ass off. So hopefully, I can hand something off to my daughter. I would love to be able to put my daughter in a position where, just because of my name, she's able to get a job and not have to worry about anything. God damn it, that's what we work for, right? And it would be I would have loved if my dad had something to do in the right. NFL and someone just handed me a job just because I woke up. But that's what you're dealing with, right? And some of these guys are literally about as smart as this fucking Dasani water bottle, right? And they don't know dick about what. Listen, I got one of those guys at my fucking alma mater at UMass. The former coach there, he was a fucking hand me down from Notre Dame, right? And Brian Kelly had him on his staff, got rid of him, and because Brian Kelly said, "Oh, this is the guy that you want," UMass fucking hires him, and the dude was I'm not going to say
he's
what
melting,
I wanted to
he's
say.
Melting down.
But that guy was only in the league because of his familial ties, right? But he was a terrible coach. He wasn't even a great person, and he hurt my school because he didn't know shit. But he really ultimately.
And
was
my guess is he was arrogant as hell.
Oh my god! Yeah, biggest dick in the world.
I love these people.
Right? Not biggest dick in the world because he actually had a dick. Right, with that. I mean, he was just a piece
dick
of shit
way too many times. But the people that get in that position by lack of merit somehow end up being the most arrogant ones out there
every time.
It's overcompensate for what they don't know.
It's exactly overcompensate for what they don't know. So. There's a lot of those in coaching, and you know, running teams, whether it's NFL or college,
businesses too.
And Zach Smith is a prime example. He's a child, right? He's a spoiled brat, right?
I didn't know he was Earl Bruce's grandson until this whole thing unfolded.
Right.
Someone told me about, you know, Earl Bruce. I mean, who gives a fuck? Oh, it's his grandkid. I get it.
Right? Yeah, but at the same time, listen, Earl, I get it. right? But your kid, like, you get your grandson under control. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Right? And so what Urban should have done is gone to Earl Bruce and said,
get your boy under control. Yeah.
He's got one season. If this shit doesn't stop after your conversation with him, he will never coach again. He wouldn't be able to, like, if it were me, he wouldn't coach at a fucking Division IX school.
Not only won't he coach for me, I will put the word out.
I will put the word out that he won't be able to coach at a fucking NAIA school. That's what I would do. And that's not me, hindsight 2020. I'm just that type of dick, right? Like, I can't have a shitbag on my team, right? Like, where, I mean, because you're running a small corporation there. You're running a major corporation there. Right? Like, you're running a major corporation there. And that guy has been a liability from day one. Because I cannot believe, like, he's Earl Bruce's grandson. I guarantee you, he's been a piece of shit since he was 6 years old. I guarantee you everybody knew he was a fucking dick. Right? And so this whole thing could have been preempted if Urban steps up and steps out of the, you're so-and-so. So, yeah, you're in the circle. You're in the good old boys network. Like, and that's where you got to break that shit up.
We could, you know, this could, there's a whole bunch of avenues I would want to go down, but I need to go watch a preseason football game. That shows where my priorities are.
You don't.
I don't need to. I'm meeting some friends out, Bills, Bengals. This is actually almost being broadcast being published as it happens. Let's go. I think you're going to join me, right?
Maybe.
All right. Maybe. Sorry. See, I didn't even blink. That was a threatened Dasani bottle of salt.
You knew it wasn't coming.
I did. Anyway, good talking to you. And again, we could do this for hours. We'll put this right up. And thanks for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. Please keep listening. If you're one of the people I talked about and you don't like what I said, sorry. But please reach out to me with Jim@WhiskeyCongress.com. Or if you want to talk to Steve@WhiskeyCongress.com. Cleveland Underground Whiskey, enjoyed that, or you not so much?
You know, I just so we're clear, I love their whiskey.
Yeah,
this flavor was just weird to me. It's still clean and it's got the ABV, everything you want. It's just the flavor was a little bit off my personal taste, but I still love Cleveland whiskey. I actually have a friend of mine has a bottle that they got at a special event last night, actually, that's coming my way. So
okay, nice.
Yeah,
all right. Whiskey Congress, we're out.